The T-Biz Podcast delivers tea news that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for tea professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
Tea nourishes and inspires. It is an ancient plant-based medicine that simultaneously heals and energizes the body as it soothes the mind. Making fine tea is a blend of artistry and craftsmanship. The $200 billion tea trade is fundamentally local, yet exerts global influence, employing millions to enhance the well-being of all. Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headlines. Retailers hurry to capture holiday cheer. Taifu Tea is on the brink of collapse. And Oriental Rise Tea raises $7 million from a NASDAQ IPO. Plus, beyond the trophy, the Leafy's International Tea Awards, now in its third edition, attracted almost 400 entries this year, and on November 6th, named 26 gold award winners. An additional 42 teas were highly commended by 16 judges representing each major tea-growing region. Director Jennifer Wood explains that judging teas by region and type enables the panel of experts to evaluate the teas more fairly. All judges collaborate to reassess the gold award winners and select best in show. Organizers in 2022 saw, quote, a massive gap in the market for a window to origin. The competition seemed like a great way of recognizing the people who work so hard to produce sensational teas, only to struggle to get a voice in the marketplace, she said. Everyone covets trophies and bragging rights. In this episode, Jennifer describes the far more valuable underlying benefits of tea competitions for those who enter and the industry at large. More in a minute. But first, this important message.
What happens when businesses along the tea supply chain get together and support women and children in tea communities? The Mother and Child-Friendly Seal for Responsible Business is creating long-term positive impacts, making your cup of Ceylon tea all the sweeter. Learn more at srilanka-motherandchildseal.org.
Today may feel like Black Friday, but it's not. This year, there are only 26 days between Black Friday and Christmas, the shortest span in 5 years. Anticipating the shortened holiday shopping calendar, marketers launch Black Friday deals more than a week before the mark, and consumers responded enthusiastically. Still ahead is Thanksgiving, the actual Black Friday Friday, followed by Sofa Sunday so you can line up online deals for a Cyber Monday splurge. Shoppers have 5 fewer days between Thanksgiving and Christmas to fill their carts, leading many to an early start. According to Gartner Market Research, 32% of U.S. shoppers began their holiday shopping between July and September. The trend to promote early holiday cheer once centered on December, then it moved up to November. This year, major retailers blended their fall and holiday campaigns to encourage consumers to check off their gift lists in October. Amazon Prime Big Deal Days were October 8th to 9th, returning to a pattern established in 2022. Sales totals were not disclosed, but Amazon reported a record number of purchases made this year's two-day sale, the biggest October shopping event ever globally, saving Prime members $1 billion across millions of deals. Despite the early start, overall growth is expected to be modest, with most projections in the low single digits. The National Retail Federation forecasts 2.5% to 3.5% growth, slightly below last year. The sales may reach $989 billion. Salesforce.com predicts a 2% year-over-year increase across all channels, resulting in $1.19 trillion in sales globally. Lingering inflation will force retailers to be more aggressive in attracting crowds to their storefronts and websites. discounting is evident. Luring buyers into deals in early November also dilutes the impact of the frenzy of past years. Based on consumer surveys in the U.S., U.K., Germany, Australia, and Canada, three-quarters of shoppers plan to do more than half of their holiday shopping online this year. Half expect to visit physical stores. Walking out of the store with a gift in hand may prove prudent, as the shortened season means timely delivery will be an issue. Yet another reason for an early start. Business Insight. The tea lovers on your list are certain to enjoy the more than 100 teas, brewers, and tea-inspired gifts in the annual Tea Journey Gift Guide and Last Minute Gift Guide. These digital catalogs feature between 5 and 10 carefully curated items per category. The magazine's staff scouts the world for unique items to make your choices memorable. Visit www.teajourney.pub. PUB to view. Venerable Thai Food Tea, one of the oldest operating tea brands in England, is in danger of collapse. The Bristol-based company, which employs 100 workers, filed a notice to appoint administrators in November due to declining sales and debt. The sales declined 28% last year as losses increased to £38 million. Founded in Birmingham in 1903 by John Sumner Jr., the tea was marketed as a medicinal blend to aid digestion. The brand derived its name from Mandarin Chinese Da Fu, which describes doctors and medical professionals. Thai Fu is as well known as Tetley's Twinings, Yorkshire, and PG Tips. Thai Fu Chief Executive Officer Dave McNulty told the BBC, "The filing will, quote, afford the company some breathing space to explore solutions," end quote. Recent setbacks include vandalism at the company's former factory in Moortown, Merseyside last year. Trespassers occupied the site, causing £24.1 million in losses. McNulty, the former head of Birch Crisp, is a newly appointed CEO, intent on restructuring and securing a viable rescue agreement. McNulty favors a sale of the business. A company release noted, quote, "Legacy issues have been largely dealt with, and the results of this operational transformation should become evident," end quote. The BBC report stated, quote, "The company's losses widened to £38 million from £9.6 million in the year ending September 2023, the most recent results available. The sales fell to £25.3 million from £33.7 million during that period." The brand, owned by Zetlin Capital, has hired accountancy EY as administrators to help determine whether the firm should declare bankruptcy. Until 2021, the company was controlled by India-based Apogee Saranda Group, which bought the business from Premier Foods in 2005. The company last declared a profit in March 2017 and has since reported more than £100 million in pre-tax losses. China-based Oriental Rise raised $7 million from its initial public offering in the Nasdaq Capital Market in October, and its share price is trending well above the $4 per share initial offer. The integrated Chinese tea supplier owns 7.2 square kilometers of tea gardens in Fujian province, where it grows white tea, and additional gardens in Jurong County and Ningde City, where it processes green teas. The company's vertical business model, encompassing cultivation, processing, and sales, is uncommon in China's tea industry. The Ningde Company, founded in 2008, previously filed to offer 3 million shares at $4 per share in March, but appended its IPO to 2 million shares totaling 8 million. Ultimately, the company issued 1.75 million shares at $4 and began trading October 17th. Oriental Rise's stock has since experienced significant activity. On its first trading day, the stock opened at $5.10, a 25% increase from the IPO price, and reached the session high of $10.65 per share, marking a 166% increase. The stock closed at $6 that day, a 50% increase from its IPO price, on a volume of 1.6 million shares. The share price peaked in October on the 22nd at $9.39 per share, and is currently steady at around $7. Your shares were trading at $6.73 on November 20th for a market cap of about $140 million. Management said it is using the funds to acquire management contracts for some existing tea gardens, construct a new production plant, and acquire new processing equipment. During the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2023, the company reported a net income of $11.5 million U.S. dollars on revenue of $24 million. The company booked $25 million for the 12 months ending June 30th, 2023. Next, Aravinda and Intharaman in Bengaluru reports on this week's India Tea News.
India Tea News for the week ending 22nd November 2024. The West Bengal State Government has introduced a Standard Operating Procedure, SOP, to ensure routine operations in closed or abandoned tea gardens, as reported by The Telegraph India. The notification was issued on 6 November and details the steps to hand over closed or abandoned gardens to prospective investors for up to 3 years, and should these investors meet the stipulated clauses in managing the garden, they will be able to procure a 30-year lease. With nearly 25 tea gardens in North Bengal closed or abandoned, some for years, this move is welcomed by the industry as it will allow workers to continue earning a living. As per the SOP, if a garden has been closed for 3 months with wages unpaid, or if the lease has expired, the state government can seek an investor through a limited bidding process. The investor is required to pay a security deposit equal to 3 months' salaries and wages with the state government, and the state will continue to monitor the arrangement to ensure that the investor meets their legal obligations, including payment of wages. Any violation of the clauses will result in termination of the agreement. An unsuccessful completion of 3 years, the government will consider a 30-year lease for the investor. The representatives of both the trade unions and the planters' fraternity have welcomed the decision. Our reporter in Guwahati, Rupa Goswami, reports on new research from the Tokhlai Tea Research Institute in Assam, India. This particular study has been very interesting because it could reshape the way green tea is made, making it more cost-effective and efficient for consumers. The study was published in the Innovative Food Science and Emerging Technologies Journal, and it explores the advantages of applying crushed air curl processing, or CTC method, which is traditionally used for black tea, to green tea. The research shows that CTC-processed green tea not only matches but often exceeds the antioxidant levels of conventional green tea, with a higher release of bioactive compounds like polyphenols, catechins, caffeine, and theanine that position green tea as a wellness beverage. And researchers say that this enhanced efficiency produces the same antioxidant levels and taste qualities while using only half the tea leaves as orthodox green tea. One of the researchers was quoted as saying 0.75 grams of CTC green tea provides bioactive content comparable to 2 grams of orthodox tea. The CTC method breaks down tea leaves, creating smaller particles with larger surface area, which increases the interaction between the tea and water during infusion. This appears to boost the release of beneficial compounds. The study also pointed out that the CTC processing does not impact the taste of green tea negatively, which is good news. In fact, they say it achieved similar taste and color perceptions with about half the amount of orthodox green tea. Overall, green tea produced by the CTC method offers a compelling combination of taste efficiency, affordability, and health benefits, potentially making it a disruptive innovation in the tea industry.
And now, a word from this week's sponsor.
Hi, I'm Nish. I grew up in an organic tea farm and founded Nepal Tea Collective in 2016. Tea is not just a beverage for me, but a catalyst for social change, sustainably empowering hardworking artisans like my parents for the past 30 years. I'm on a mission to make the whole world aware of the goodness of Nepali teas and the good that comes from supporting growers in this remarkable land. If you haven't tasted Nepali teas yet, you're missing out. Our award-winning teas are making headlines. Find out why. Visit Nepal Tea Collective's website to get a free sample of this extraordinary taste of the Himalayas. That's nepalteacollective.com. Or just send me an email at nish, N-I-S-H, at nepalteacollective.com. Cheers.
The Leafy's International Tea Awards, now in its third edition, attracted almost 400 entries this year, and on November 6th, named 26 Gold Award winners. An additional 42 teas were highly commended by 16 judges representing each major tea-growing region. Director Jennifer Wood explains that judging teas by region and type enables the panel of experts to evaluate the teas more fairly. All judges collaborate to reassess the Gold Award winners and select best in show. Organizers in 2022 saw, quote, a massive gap in the market for a window to origin. The competition seemed like a great way of recognizing the people who work so hard to produce sensational teas, only to struggle to get a voice in the marketplace, she said. Everyone covets trophies and bragging rights. In this episode, Jennifer describes the far more valuable underlying benefits of tea competitions for those who enter and the industry at large. Jennifer Wood has worked in tea for 18 years after a successful career in branding. In 2007, she founded Kenton Tea in London to supply fine artisanal teas five-star hotels, Michelin-starred restaurants, and independent coffee shops. Jennifer is the director of the UK Tea Academy, which she co-founded with writer and educator Jane Pettigrew in 2015. The UKTA trains tea professionals and offers courses for tea enthusiasts. Next year, OCN London, a regulated qualifications body with international recognition, will endorse the Academy's courses and certify the qualification for Tea Sommelier. The UKTA launched the Leafies in 2022 to celebrate the producers and embed best practices in the UKTA's learning program. Thank you, Jennifer, for joining us on the Tea Biz podcast. Today, I want to explore the underlying benefits for producers who enter tea competitions. In my experience, most already know how to make very good tea. They're more curious about how their work compares to their peers and eager for feedback from qualified tasters. Earning a trophy is great, but they soon discover more significant underlying benefits. Can you explain that to our listeners?
Yeah, I think a really surprising result from the very, very beginning was this incredible cross-fertilization of ideas between the people who entered. They looked at the teas that had won. They looked mm-hmm. at best practice. They mm-hmm. looked at the socioeconomic benefits going on in the tea gardens. And from the very beginning, it nurtured this incredible sense of sharing best practice. And so it's been very much a case of a community of tea growers finding a place at the Leafies and fascinated by what other people are doing. So there are smaller gardens, tiny gardens from new regions, emerging regions who have mm-hmm. never really had much exposure to their teas at all and are now learning from the traditional gardens and the traditional gardens doing new and interesting specialty teas. So there's an incredible sense of learning, I think, that's coming about through the Leafies. So yeah, entering is not just about winning at all. it's learning about the tea that they've entered as well, because the judges have this phenomenal expertise between them. They all have specialist knowledge of their regions. They will talk about every single tea, and they will first of all make their own note. Then they will go through the criteria, marking it themselves, and then discuss it amongst themselves. And that gives us an opportunity to write down that feedback, which, if the gardens choose, and that goes back to the gardens. So instead of this valuable thought, ideas, and knowledge and expertise in tasting, and decades between them all, between all the judges, instead of that just being lost into ether, this is recorded and can then go back, and so the garden can understand not necessarily what was good or bad about the tea, because that's really not how it worked. It was, this had an interesting flavor here. I wonder if they did that. And looking at the leaf, I wonder, had they done this, it might have created that. So, you know, a real sense of understanding the leaves. All they know, of course, is the region. They know nothing more than the region it comes from. And that by getting down some of that, those notes, that can then go back to the garden, and they can look and think, okay, that's what those guys thought. They may not necessarily agree, but it's another very valuable opinion about what they're tasting, I think.
Jennifer, will you cite one or two things that describe how the Leafies differ from other competitions?
I think the Leafies is entirely unique in the UK. It's the only dedicated tea awards, for a start. The consistency of the judging panel is something that we really value. So that's not going to be randomers coming in every time and different parameters and different values. Because we have drawn the original judges from a pool of UKTA tutors who are absolute experts in their field and regional specialists, they are delighted to be involved, to have the opportunity to taste all these extraordinary teas and to come back year after year. And because we're not sure, we're based in London, we're not UK-centric at all. We have our judges from Sri Lanka and India, Japan, Taiwan, China, and many other experts who have lived and worked in tea regions.
Will you share with listeners some of the logistics of receiving entries and prepping them for blind tasting?
Yes, the entries start coming in from July. They all go to one fabulous place, our Japanese tea packer and distributor for the UKTA, when she sends out all these teas. So they're all accumulated, checked off, and whoever has the entrance are notified that their teas have arrived, so they can relax. And this goes on over several months. And then the work begins. Every single tea is taken out from its original pack and given a unique number. The brewers don't know. Clearly, the judges don't know. Nobody outside the packing room know which teas relate to which garden. So they are packed into the regions. This year, the categories were slightly broader in that we were comparing black teas against from Japan against black teas from Sri Lanka and Taiwan, other regions. Because last year we had black teas from Japan, black teas from India, black teas from Sri Lanka, black teas. And so they were all just compared to their own regions. And several of them said, actually, we want to see how we compare on the world stage, not just against our own country and our own regions. We would like to see how we compare to all the other regions. So we broadened it, but instead of giving just one gold award in each category, we allowed there to be more gold awards. So in some categories, there were several golds given because you are comparing very, very, very different teas. So the highly commended awards can be given as many as they like. And they don't scatter these like confetti by any means. The judges are very, very discerning and very strict on what the parameters were, are around the teeth. And of course, they are judged with a number. And this takes about a week. Pretty intense. It's very, very organized. I had a team who were tireless and remarkable in helping us get that organized and getting it into the tasting room at Fortnum Mason, the food and drink studio, which is where some of our judging took place.
How many people are involved in the logistics?
5 or 6. And I would say that we could do with 10 or 15. It was pretty intense. And next year, the plan is to have a bigger team and starting earlier. Because unless anyone's actually been involved behind the scenes in the organization, it's very hard to describe the number of hoops you need to go through to make sure it's all absolutely precise and exact and accurate.
Let's take a snapshot of a day when the competition is judged. The teas are all prepared thoughtfully according to the tea maker's suggestions, right?
Yeah. So not only do the producers put in their teas, but they also put in their brewing parameters. And so the brewing team are given the parameters around each numbered tea. So they look at them and they absolutely stick strictly to them. I'm not sure what others might do in these circumstances, but sometimes a tea is made exactly according to the producer's instructions and the judges are questioning it. They're saying, this is way too light. We're not getting enough out of this. How was this brewed? And they go back and they look at it. And often they say, you know what? This, looking at the leaf, this needs more time. This needs a higher temperature. This needs this. Can you try it again? So they might have judged it the first time according to the producer's instructions. But then they think if it's not being given the benefit of how it the production, they can ask and the brewers will brew it again. And then very often they get incredible flavors. They get amazing aromas. They're really excited by it and it wins an award.
So the judges have some latitude to seek out what they think would be the best showing of the tea.
They absolutely do.
They're making that judgment based on something other than what the producer says. They're making it based on their professional judgment.
Right. Yeah.
That's a nice aspect because you're not dealing with amateurs here. You're dealing with professionals. Does every judge taste every tea?
The judges work within particular categories. There are always at least 3 judges on every tea in a team, and they're the lead judge on that team who is from that region. So there's never a Taiwanese tea that is tasted only by our Sri Lankan judge or we have to do best in show at the end.
Right.
So this is really fun. We get all the golds from the week together, have them brewed in this incredible sort of precision army maneuvering way and make sure that they're all along the table and the judges can then eliminate and choose. And again, by some sort of astonishing connection and unanimous, they come to a conclusion which is generally completely unanimous on what is best in show. And it's an exciting tea every time. And they are blown away by it.
Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of T-Biz journalists and tea experts? Remember to visit the T-Biz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.